Chris Kershaw tipping pitches. CJ, how does the hitter see that and take advantage?
Well, first and foremost, Chris, if it did happen, it always happens when the pitcher is in the stretch. Rarely can you pick up pitches when a guy is thrown from the windup, and that's what we saw in that seventh inning.
Hey, is there a hot stove in here, or is it just me?
This is a stand-up podcast now. It's just a comedy. Yep. We're just going to make bad jokes for an hour.
Yeah, it's the Tipping Pitches comedy hour.
Yeah, y'all in or what? Just kidding.
That would be unlistenable.
I couldn't even sit here and do it for an hour. I would think I would rip all my hair out first. So, no, this is actually Tipping Pitches. My name is Bobby Wagner.
My name is Alex Baisley.
And we actually have some stuff to talk about today.
Yeah, some things have happened. Some baseball news occurred in the last week.
I know that like my baseball barometer is off when I get like really juiced over like two Brewers notifications. The Brewers did two things and I was like, this is crazy.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. I'm into it. So the Brewers, if you were unaware, the Brewers went out and traded for Christian Yelich, and then like a half hour later went and signed Lorenzo Cain. And so they basically turned their outfield into one of the better ones in baseball and pushed themselves into like actual potential playoff contender status.
Yeah. So the Cain deal, he was a free agent, 5 years, $80 million. It's right about where you would expect for someone who's 30.
It's like 31,
30
I think.
Or 31 and has had like great production since he's been like 27 or 28.
Yeah.
But the Yelich deal is a little more interesting because they gave up like a decent amount to get him.
Yeah. They gave up Lewis Brinson, who is like one of the top prospects in baseball, and was basically, they were hoping Lewis Brinson would turn into Christian Yelich, so then they just traded him for Christian Yelich, because why not?
They traded, like, more years of team control of, like, a Christian Yelich prototype for, you know, the known commodity. I think it makes a lot of sense, mostly because, like, the Brewers are in, like, the second kind of, like, half of their rebuilding process, or, like, retooling, or whatever you want to call it. And, like, Yelich still makes sense with that timeline. It's not like they went and got, like, a one-year win-now guy. Like, Yelich is on a seven-year $50 million deal.
Yeah, like he'll be with them through what, like 2021 maybe?
Yeah,
2022?
Something like that. He signed his extension, and that's what made him so valuable. And that's why, like, for the Marlins, that was amazing that he signed that, because now that they're like in the midst of their fire sale, like they got more for him than they got for Giancarlo, because like Yelich on a good contract to a small market team like the Brewers is a lot more valuable.
There's a huge amount of surplus value there.
Yeah, is a lot more valuable than like Giancarlo on a mega contract to like a big market team like the Yankees.
Yeah, so the Marlins like finally made a trade where people weren't like, wow, this is awful. Like I tried to look at it a million times and be like, let's figure out the way in which the Brewers fleeced the Marlins. But it wasn't there. It was just a good trade for both sides.
Yeah, so like with this trade, with like some of the stuff that they're bound to get back for like spare parts, I'm sure like something will turn into someone who like makes it to the majors. And then like with the 5 years that the Marlins are just gonna like not try to contend and like pay $70 million and like pull an Astros who were paying like $30 million when they were their worst. Like the Marlins are gonna be fine.
Yeah.
In a long time. And like it's still ridiculous, and Marlins fans should still be outraged over the way that this team and this stadium and the organization has been handling things, but like they're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
As long as they don't make this is a big caveat, but like as long as they don't make some huge mistake in the next couple of years.
Yeah.
They're just gonna have to, you know, weather that storm for now.
Yeah. I like Brinson. I mean, he's also like major league ready, more or less. So I assume that he's gonna be their starting center fielder in this year. And like Brinson came up and like had 100 bad at bats this past season. So maybe he starts in AAA, but like he's more or less there.
Yeah.
Like he doesn't have much left to prove at the minor league levels. So and the Marlins are a team who can afford to let Brinson like play in the majors and struggle and figure it out. Whereas the Brewers, like, we kind of need this production right now as they move into this kind of final stage of their retooling process.
Yeah, so now the Brewers kind of have a logjam in the outfield. So they have Ryan Braun like leftover from their last good team with like CC Sabathia and like Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
But like he presumably will play some first base like in tandem with Eric Thames, who will no doubt like hit all 30 of his home runs before like June 1st.
Yeah. And you know, for the record, I'm totally for that, because 2 months of just Eric Thames mashing is so much more fun than like 6 months of normal production.
Agreed. So, like, do you think that's going to become a problem? Like, there are two very clear players that are going to play every day and in Yelich and Kane. So I think it's a little less troublesome to try to, like, juggle the last spot. So I think they'll be fine.
Yeah. I think the assumption now is that they'll trade some of their extra outfielders that they have, guys like Keon Broxton or Brett Phillips or Domingo Santana. It sounds like those guys will probably be on the trading block for something like, you know, starting pitching depth or something, because that is where they need the most help.
The Mets should trade for Keon Broxton, and that way in back-to-back years they will get the washed up, came up short, effectively wild favorite player. Like last year they signed to Nori Aoki when all the outfielders got hurt. And so Keon Broxton will be like 2018's version of that.
That'd be fun. It's wild because like the NL is really good. Like they have a lot of really good teams. Teams like the Giants and the Brewers have really done a pretty good job retooling this year and will probably come in third in their respective divisions. Like you have the Rockies and the Diamondbacks and the Cubs are still great and the Cardinals are probably going to be great. So I don't know. The NL, it's a fun time to be a fan of most teams in the NL not named the Marlins.
Or the Pirates.
Yeah. True. It's sad. Yo, look at I found this picture of Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain. Look at how happy they look.
Aww. Look at... Yeah, they do look really happy.
In Brewers uniforms, Yelich is like, I got out of there. We made it.
Kane's like, I'm the only person that got a deal.
Oh, man.
I do want to say, okay, quick angry Mets fan rant real right here.
Yeah, do it.
If you're going to make a bad signing, like if you're going to sign someone to the outfield that you don't need, why make it Jay Bruce and not Lorenzo Cain? Like Lorenzo Cain got a longer deal and a little more money per year, but like... That's because he's a more valuable player. He was worth over 5 WAR last year. You know what Jay Bruce was worth last year? In a career year, was worth like 2. So like, what do we think is going to... The Mets just like don't think WAR is a thing. Yeah, they just don't think the defensive part of WAR is a thing. They only look at like power.
You have 2 like legitimately good outfielders on your team right now. Like, except without Jay Bruce. You have 2 guys in Cespedes and Conforto who are good outfielders. Neither of whom can play center field. So why did you go sign another guy who can't play center field?
Guess what? You have the best defensive center fielder in the league, potentially, on your team in Juan Lagares. So, like, you have a great offensive outfield if you just have Conforto and Cespedes out there. And then, like, if Lagares, who has been working, supposedly, who has been working on his power swing and his loft and his uppercut this year... If he can have somewhat of a breakout year offensively, the way that Lorenzo Cain did after he was great defensively until his age 28 season and actually started to be able to hit the ball and the Royals went to 2 World Series and won one, then you have an awesome outfield and you don't even need to sign Jay Bruce. You don't even need to sign Lorenzo Cain. Like, yeah, I don't know.
It's dumb. But you know who they really should sign? Mike Moustakas.
No, they should sign.
I had to do it.
Don't, no. That would be an instant mix in the club between Syndergaard and Moustakas. No, they should sign Todd Frazier.
Yeah.
If we're really going to sign a stopgap third baseman, it should be Todd Frazier, who is way more fun. And you know how, like, when he went to the Yankees, there were all the stories about how he was from, Jersey, and he grew up a Yankees fan. We could just, like, throw that through a Mets filter and, like...
just make it slightly more depressing.
He wasn't a Mets fan, but he still likes New York. I don't know.
They interview him after after Yankees games. It's like, oh, I'm so happy to be here. And after Mets games, it's like, the park's really out of the way, man. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere. This kind of sucks.
Queen sucks. all right, anyway. Another thing we wanted to talk about, just kind of like newsy-wise, was that the Hall of Fame selections were made.
Yeah.
Only 4 players made it in. It was Trevor Hoffman, Chipper Jones, Jim Thome, and Vlad Guerrero.
The one and only.
Yeah, the one and only. Aside from like just chronicling what these guys did in their careers, thoughts that I have are that like if we're going to put Trevor Hoffman in, we might as well put Billy Wagner in. Like if we're going to, just because Trevor Hoffman like has the second most saves ever and like a lot of them, does not mean he was better than Billy Wagner. And I'm not just saying that because I am a Mets fan and Billy Wagner followed me back on Twitter. I truly believe that. And then Chipper Jones, not much to say that hasn't been said about him. He was amazing. One of the best third basemen ever. And he killed the Mets.
Yeah.
But yeah, do you have thoughts on any of the others?
Well, so Vladimir Guerrero is going in as an Angel, which I think, didn't really occur to me that that might happen when, like, if you had asked me, you know, a few months ago, like, what's Vlad Guerrero going into the Hall of Fame as? I would be like, oh, an Expo, obviously, because I think that that's, like, that's the team he came up with and kind of where he spent some of his prime. And so that's just kind of what I think of him as. But I guess it makes sense that he picked the Angels because, you know, he went to the playoffs a few times with them and he won an MVP with them. And he only spent a couple fewer years on the Angels than he did the Expos. And he's going to be the first Angel to go into the Hall of Fame now, too, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So that makes like four, there's four teams left now that don't have one, right?
Yeah, the Marlins, the Rockies, the Rays, and the Nationals.
Which is like, okay.
Yeah, just young
they
teams.
Just started. Yeah, young teams. Do you get to like, so you get to choose? You phrased it like he chose that he's going to be an Angel. Do you only get to choose if you spent like X amount of time with two different clubs? Like say like someone spent their whole career with like the Dodgers and then the Dodgers screwed them over at the end and they like spent like a year with like Cleveland. Could you go in as an Indian?
You probably could if you wanted to. Like, yeah, he gets to make the decision.
No one's ever going in as a Marlin then. They're never going to get one.
Yeah, I think it's just kind of who you identify with most. He just said...
What if you identified with a team you never played for? Could you... Like, if I made it to the league and I played for the Phillies my whole career, could I just go in as a Met?
Yeah. Yeah, why not? He said he did it because of all the winning that happened in LA. And I'm like, yeah, I respect that.
Yeah, I mean, he was with them for like... He won an MVP with them. And he wasn't on their World Series team, but those teams were still like better than the latter half of his Expos days.
Yeah.
You know? Like, he was on the Expos team that probably would have had a good shot at World Series, but, like, the work stoppage.
I guess the Hall of Fame has, like, the final say on how you're represented on the plaque, but I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh, you want to go as an Angel? Well, screw you. You're getting an Expos hat, bro.
I think they might say that to me in my situation. Like, yeah. I spent, like, 19 years as a Dodger, 1 year as, like, a Rocky. And I'm like, listen, I love the people like, of Colorado.
Like, sorry, we're not doing your petty BS here.
Do you think Jordan would have tried to pull some shit like that, like because he hated the Chicago Bulls owner and like he would have tried to go in as like a wizard and everyone would have been like, bruh, come
yeah. I don't think anyone wants to face that sort of backlash.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, I mean, Jordan.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Listen, Republicans buy shoes too.
Yeah, fair. And Jim Thome is going in the Hall of Fame too, which is cool. Good for him. I feel like he's like one of the, I think, feel like the last sluggers from that era, like the late 90s, early 2000s, of like when everyone hit a million home runs. And I feel like he just kind of, because he played with so many players who were like better, so to speak, like he was in
or
the
like
era
flagrantly juicing.
Yeah, but he was in the era of like Bonds and Maguire, and so everyone talks about them, but like he still ended up, I don't know, top like what, sixth or seventh all time on home runs.
Yeah, like so more, he had like 612.
Yeah.
And like I feel like the other thing is that he did it with like a couple of different teams and like he had longevity like through all those eras. And so maybe he doesn't get like some of the backlash and the firestorm of like a guy like, you know, Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire, because like once the steroids were filtered out of the game a little more, like the blatant like anabolic steroids got cut out, like they just were not baseball players anymore.
Yeah.
Like they were not good. And like Thome, I know there are a lot of rumors around like his peak and like his 50 home run seasons and whatnot, but like he still had the longevity and he was still a good enough hitter. And I love Jim Thome's swing and I always liked him a lot. And like, that's one of the biggest compliments I can give people is that like, if you played for the Phillies for a long portion of your career and you were good on them and I still don't hate you, like that's a pretty big compliment to give to someone.
Yeah.
And so like, I think he sort of lasted through that era and like was still good. But also, because he played for so long, sort of is under the radar a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like he's just a very inoffensive guy, you know? Also, like, it was easy to hate Mark McGwire for taking PEDs because Mark McGwire was a dick. But Jim Thome, by all accounts, seemed like a pretty good guy. And I just want to point out that, like, just as a testament to how crowded these early 2000s were with power hitters, in 2002, he hit .304 with 52 home runs, led the league in walks with 122, had a 200 OPS plus, which means he was like 100% better than the league average.
Literally.
Literally 100% better. And came in seventh in MVP voting. Seventh.
Who won it?
Miguel Tejada, my boy.
Oh.
These are like the 2002 A's. Yeah, that was a fun team.
Yeah, remember when Miguel Tejada won, like, the home run derby?
Yeah.
And, like, was hitting several balls in a row out of the park? Miguel Tejada, who was, like, I don't know, like, 20-something when he won that? Or, like, 30-something? Or potentially 40? Who knows?
We're not know. But, yeah, anyway, that was a fun era of baseball. He also, Tomy wore number 25, which I feel like is one of those, like, beautiful, like, slugger numbers. Like, you don't get that anymore. Now it's all, like, weird stuff. Like, Aaron Judge wears 99, which, like, I love. But, like, I don't know, you had the... like the guys who wore 44 and the guys who wore 25, you know, like those big round numbers.
That's a good number.
Yeah, it is.
25 is like the perfect number for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know why that is that they wear like weirder numbers now. There's just because like numbers are associated with other players and like you want to stand out. Like Aaron Judge wants to stand out. Also, like 99 was probably like the year Aaron Judge was born. He's like a child. Just kidding. He's older than us. Yeah, but that, I mean, that's all we really wanted to say on the Hall of Fame just because like, this is well covered territory, and like we don't have anything interesting to offer. We don't have votes.
Yeah, so, like, no one's coming to us and being like, "Oh, these college kids make a good point about about the Hall of Fame. We're gonna listen to them."
Yeah, I think we're both big Hall guys, so like the more people, the merrier. I would like to see maybe a guy like Billy Wagner or like obviously Barry Bonds or
like Mike Mussina deserves to be in there. Edgar Martinez was like the big snub that a lot of people were upset about.
Yeah,
and it's
he's
like,
still got some time though, right? Like,
yeah, he
there
does.
Was a campaign. I saw like Billy Wagner and Edgar Martinez, like because they're both like being kept out of the Hall of Fame, are like interacting a lot on Twitter and being like, and Billy Wagner's like retweeting stuff from like Edgar Martinez's family being like, he's a great guy, he deserves to get in. And I'm just like, do we really like, we really need to relitigate the character clause like once a year for all these guys? I'm just like, they're good baseball players. They're part of baseball history.
Just put them in.
Just
like
put them in.
It's a Hall of Fame. They were famous. Famous baseball players. That's why they should go there.
Yeah. Anyway, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about something more in the present, and that is a quote from Kenley Jansen at where was he?
He was at Dodgers Fan Fest,
okay.
I think yesterday.
Saying, like, relatively offhandedly, well, maybe as players, we should just go on strike.
Yeah.
Like, if this is how we're going to be treated, more or less.
Yeah, it comes amid a lot of the talk this offseason about how none of the free agents are being signed and what, you know, why is this happening? Is it groupthink in front offices, knowing that free agents are bad investments? Is it a bad free agent class? Is it a luxury tax? Is it outright collusion? And the answer is probably, like, all of the above are contributing to some respect. But, you know, here we are. Beginning of February, and the majority of the free, there are still like 150 guys out there, and spring training like starts soon. Pitchers and catchers report in like what, a week and a half, 2 weeks. So
yeah, it's over 100 guys, and it's not just like 100 no names who are like not going to get contracts. Like it's, I mean, Eric Hosmer,
yeah, JD Martinez, Mike Moustakas,
Jake Arrieta,
Yu Darvish,
yeah, like these
like
are
the biggest names on the market.
Yes, and like. I've been reading articles like for years saying that like no one should give Jake Arrieta a big contract, right? Since like basically since after the 2015 season. But like that doesn't mean that he shouldn't get any contract. And my feeling on this is that like if as owners you're gonna have a system where you get a ridiculous advantage in being able to keep young players like under team control for as long as they do, like longer than any other league probably in the world, right? Then you also have to pay older players because like younger players are not getting paid, older players are not getting paid. So who's getting paid? Like Giancarlo Stanton and Mike Trout? Like those are the far outliers. So you either pay older players more than what they're worth. Like baseball writers have been saying this forever. It doesn't make any sense that the older players who are declining in production are getting the largest contracts. Or you just take away the team control earlier on and then you have to pay your younger players. But the team owners don't want to do that either. So like they won't budge on either end. So I get what Kenley Jansen is saying. Like if you can't win as a younger player and you can't win at all as a younger player, you're just basically owned by the team and you get paid whatever they say you get paid, which is like where else in the world? Like is that a thing? And if you can't get paid, if you can't win as an older player, then like what's going on? Like what, as players, what are you supposed to do?
Yeah, the entire monetary system for players is pretty broken at this point. And especially with the implementation of this kind of like soft slash hard luxury tax, which is like an implicit salary cap and just gives owners an excuse to be like, oh, well, we don't want to go over the luxury tax, so therefore we just won't pay guys. And it's like, that's actually not how it works. I think Jeff Passan had an article recently where he was talking about the most recent round of collective bargaining.
Negotiations.
Yeah.
You're just like conditioned to say collective bargaining agreement.
Yeah.
Which is like the thing, not the process.
Yeah. So that was like a couple years ago. And apparently what the players union focused on was more like quality of life stuff than anything else.
Yeah.
And there was one source who was like, it's like they don't even care about money anymore, which is kind of strange. And I think that like it puts the spotlight a little bit on a guy like Tony Clark, who's the head of the union, who really has like no experience with this sort of thing. He's just a former player, which it's like maybe not the best qualifications when you're bargaining with some really, really powerful people. And
MLB is happy to appoint they don't appoint the head of the MLBPA like the players themselves do, but MLB is like happy to just let a former player be appointed, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And so it's completely broken because you have owners who don't want to spend a lot of money, and at the same time, they're allowed to spend a very small amount of money on, like you were saying, the youngest players. And arbitration screws them over. And this thing where, like, they are paid the league minimum for the first 3 years. And arbitration, like, undervalues play. I don't know. It's totally messed up. And now we're just kind of seeing the logical conclusion that has been building to this for a few years. And that's that, like, yeah, free agents are bad investments. Like, statistically speaking, if you want to look at them from an investment standpoint, by the time players reach their, you know, 31, 32-year-old season, they're already on the decline. So maybe they're not, quote-unquote, worth $150 million, but like, they are. Like,
yeah.
They should be paid that. And
they're bad investments, but guess what? Like, this is not just like stocks that we're trading here. They're like players that put on uniforms that fans come to see. Like, it's a bad investment from like a baseball value, but like most free agents make up their value for you. Teams are not out here like straight up losing all their money. Like, the Marlins are one thing. They were very poorly run, and Jeffrey Loria was basically just stealing from the Marlins organization. But like, other teams are not losing money, even if they do have a $150 million free agent who is like bad in like the sixth year of his career, of his deal, or like fifth year of his deal, or whatever it might be. And like, I just want to say one thing, like, arbitration makes it seem like it's a fair two-sided process, but like, it's really not, right? Like, the cap that like teams are willing to go up to is not anywhere near what these players are worth. And the bottom that teams are willing to go down to, the league minimum, is a lot closer than like what the players are actually worth. So like, that's all very theoretical, but let me give an example. Like, let's say like Carlos Correa is maybe what, like the second best player in the league right now. So if it was a meritocracy, Carlos Correa would make the second most money behind Mike Trout. Okay. Teams are not willing to even negotiate that Carlos Correa should make the second most money behind Mike Trout. They are $29 million lower than, that's what they're saying that they'll pay, like around like $29 million lower than what Mike Trout makes. But the league minimum is like what, 1.2 million or something like that, or like 800,000.
Yeah, the league minimum is something like 575.
Exactly. So like, that floor is a lot closer than to what Carlos Correa might be making than $30 million is. That is not halfway between those two points. So that's not a fair two-sided argument between the team and the player. Because if Carlos Correa was a free agent right now, guess what he would ask for? What Mike Trout is making, potentially more because he's younger and he plays shortstop. So like, that's not a fair process. There are caps on all of this that limit players a lot more than they help players. Like, the lower caps are damaging players more than the higher caps are helping players.
Yeah. Mookie Betts filed for arbitration, and the Red Sox wanted to pay him, I don't remember the numbers exactly, but it was something like the Red Sox wanted to pay him like $7.5 million, and he wanted like, you know, $12.5 million. So like $5 million apart. And Mookie Betts is worth like thrice his own estimation, you know? But he's forced to undervalue himself, knowing that the arbitration process is just skewed against young players like this, and thinks that owners should just not have to pay them what they're worth when they're 24. Like, what? How does that work? The system just says you don't have to pay them because they're this age?
It
doesn't make sense.
Especially with players like peaking earlier now, you know, because they're coming up a lot earlier, than like their careers are extended a lot longer. So like, you should be making the most money like while you're near your like 24 year old season, because that is probably when you're like just hitting the beginning of your peak. You're probably going to be best when you're like 26 or 27, and then you're going to be on the decline from there. But guess what? Like the first I was listening to, I forget if it was a baseball podcast or a basketball podcast, so I apologize for not crediting whoever had this point, but like the first $20 million that you make, or the first $5 million that you make, or whatever your first contract is going to be, is the most important one. Like, so you should be making it earlier. Like, once you've made $5 million, then potentially you could make the argument that, like, when you're 30, you don't need that $5 million as much as you did when you were, like, 20. And I'm not saying that, like, these players are hurting for money, but, like, if we're going to be talking in huge amounts of money, all with the caveat that, like, yes, there are minor league players that are making not livable wages, and there are non-sports related economic issues much larger than this. But like that first, the first half of your career is when you need to build up that money the most, right? Because like your career could end at any point, especially if you're like a pitcher or something. And so I just don't understand the argument that you should be able to arbitrate players down to like not even 1/10 of what they're worth, and then still have the option to not sign free agents later on. There is no correlation between how many players you are underpaying and then how many players you are forced to go sign and overpay in free agency. Like there's not a rule for that.
Yeah. And no, and like you were saying, this does not limit itself to the major leagues. The exploitation of minor leaguers is asinine. And same with, I mean, it's even worse for international players who are hugely undervalued. And I think we saw a little bit of that break when the Braves were forced to give up their handful of international prospects because they were released to the free market, not to use that term, but like, and we saw how a team actually...
Kroll's eyes at free market.
And we saw how a team actually values someone like Kevin Maitán, right? And we realized, don't tell anyone, but actually these guys are worth way more than they're being paid right now, right?
Yes.
So it's hugely skewed in favor of the owners. And if you can't admit that, then I don't know. Go watch a different sport or like go take Stern classes. That's where you belong.
The other thing though is that like in the 2000s, like early 2000s, like 90s, like after basically like post last MLB strike, or like work stoppage that happened in the middle of the season, the MLBPA has had like such a reputation for being like the strongest players association, players union. And that's mostly, I think that mostly has to do with the fact that they like have negotiated that like all of their players get guaranteed contracts in a sport where like there are not as many career-ending injuries as something like the NBA or the NFL, which just has a terrible players union, so we should not use that as an example. If the fact that the players union has negotiated that the contracts that owners sign and agree to pay are guaranteed, that the money is like highly guaranteed, if that is the thing that is carrying us 3 decades later, or like two and a half decades later, and we're not addressing the fact that these are serious issues that need to be addressed and that the owners need to give on, then like Kenley Jensen is right. The players do need to go on strike. And I hate to say that because like no one wants to see baseball not happen, but I want to see terrible MLB owners get more money even less than I want to see baseball not happen.
And it's kind of a bummer because the players union is just not really strong right now. Like they do not have a ton of leverage over owners. They do not have a ton of concessions that they can give. So I don't really know what to do. I mean, you know, that Jeff Passan article mentioned that the players are considering starting, a lot of the top free agents are considering starting their own like spring training camp because it's like right around the corner. So...
And they don't have a team with a facility that can like help them get ready for the season.
Yeah, I don't know. There's not much more to say on that. I don't want to belabor the point. but yeah, just pay the players what they're worth. It's like that simple.
Yeah, you've made two terrible puns already. The first was like it's the hot stove down here.
Yeah.
The second one was belabor. This is just a stand-up podcast.
Yeah, this is.
All right, we're going to take a little break, and then when we come back, we're going to talk about things that get us equally as angry, but not for similar reasons. Come on, baby, you're breathing. I'm gonna
So if you know myself, or you know Bobby, or you know both of us, you probably know that the movie Field of Dreams holds a very dear place in both of our hearts.
Yes.
Classic baseball movie. If you're a baseball fan, you probably love it just as much as us. Some really disappointing and frankly upsetting news coming out of Eastern Iowa in the last couple days.
The only news coming out of Eastern Iowa.
Apparently some like vandals, I don't know, troublemakers, just kind of mean people got in a pickup truck and like vandalized the site. And by vandalized, I mean like they just like drove across the baseball field where it was filmed.
Pretty field.
Yeah. Beautiful field. And there's a picture of it where you can just see that there are like tire tracks like running all across it. And so like, why would you, just why? Why would you do that?
They're going to get caught, right? Like, there's no way that there's not, like, cameras.
In the article, it says, yeah, we don't have security cameras.
Oh, my God. Okay, can they track, like, can they look at the tire tracks?
Yeah.
And then, like, go find the pickup truck? I'm not even kidding. Okay, in high school, some stupid kids that I went to school with thought it would be a good idea to, like, do some, like, Need for Speed Tokyo Drift stuff in the... like on the field of one of our local like soccer fields because it snowed and they thought that it would be fun to like drift around in their like all-wheel drive car because they're so litty. And so they did it and they found them via tire tracks and they like had to pay some like exorbitant fine and then do like community service for like 2 weeks or something and like clean it all up. So maybe here's for hoping that this happens to these Field of Dreams vandals.
Yeah.
Hooligans.
Yeah.
Troublemakers. Let's try to sound like old baseball men. What are some other words we could use? Wrongdoers. Got nothing else.
I got nothing. I don't know. This is why I'm not an old baseball person. I'm working my way up to that.
You're saving all those takes for later.
Yeah, the owner, Denise Stillman, said that it was clearly someone who was disturbed and had some agenda to damage the field. And, like, that's so true.
Let's think about their agenda. What agenda would you have to damage the Field of Dreams field? Are you, like, deeply hurt that we, like, brought back Shoeless Joe? Are you, like, really against gambling in sports?
Yeah.
My agenda is, like...
You're a Black Sox truther.
You're, like, this fake news in this.
Yeah. Or you're probably a lacrosse fan. It's, like, one of two reasons.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I just want to say, if the person who did this is listening...
Actually, if the person who did this is listening, come on and talk to us.
Yeah, seriously.
We would love to bring you in the studio. We'll interview you.
We'll be fair.
And then, you know, we'll take you outside and go off the record, if you know what I mean.
And then we'll whoop your ass.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on.
So last week, we talked about Prince Fielder's wonderfully bizarre not so new food show that he released in July to no fanfare at all whatsoever. So
not even like a tweet.
So we reviewed it like 6 months late. And apparently this is just becoming a TV podcast because the one and only Big Poppy is getting his own reality show as well. And I guess it's one of these shows where like kind of like an undercover boss thing where like he goes and just like does stuff.
Okay. I just want to say I don't know anything about this show. I haven't seen this trailer. And I have not read any articles about it.
I haven't as well. I read like the cut four piece that just kind of outlined it. But neither of us have watched these two teasers. So we're going to do it like live, give you some hot takes right off the bat for you.
Yes, we're going to play. So let's play the trailers real quick.
All right.
Are you ready to get your manicure from Big Poppy?
I am.
Let's go.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
What's your name?
Emily.
Emily?
Yeah.
So what are we doing here?
I was thinking a nice bright red.
Let me see your hands. That's a piece of cake. How did I look doing this?
You look great.
Am I killing it?
Yeah, absolutely. Like steel second base killing it.
Oh my goodness, make it easy on me. I'm telling you, my hands are too damn big for this job.
What's harder, hitting a home run in the playoffs or doing my nails?
This.
Come on. There's no pressure here.
Yeah, there's pressure here, let me tell you. I do this now, right?
Yep. Gentle, gentle.
See? This is pressure right here. Yeah.
Just a little bit. Yep, that's good.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Doing good.
I don't know who set this up. If it was my manager, my wife, if it was one of my boys playing game with me. To make a long story short, I don't think this is going to be my job.
Wow.
I love this.
So
wait, so the show is called Big Poppy Needs a Job. We didn't mention that. I didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And the premise is just, the entire show is just him doing things. So like, in one, he just goes into this band room and just picks up an instrument and starts playing it. And
then the other one is the one you just heard. Like, he's being a manicurist.
Yeah.
Here's my thoughts. My first takeaway. Big Poppy is fly as hell. He, like, you know how most baseball players look 40% worse when they take their hat off or, like, helmet off or, like, out of their jersey? That's a safe thing to say, is that, like, most baseball players don't look as good, like, out of a hat off the field. Big Poppy looks fly as hell. His hair is, like, done up nice. His facial hair is, like, very neatly trimmed. He's got the big-ass earrings in, and he's wearing, like, a leather jacket in this video. And I'm just like, yo, I want to be friends with this dude.
I really do, too. He's amazing. Am I going to watch every episode of this show? I don't know. I mean, do I want to? I mean, on the one hand, yeah, watching Big Poppy just go, like, be a chef would be kind of cool. I think actually what's more fun than Poppy himself is like the people who he's interacting with. Like he goes into the band room and these people are like, this man is an inspiration to us. And you were saying like, how can I get on this, right?
Yeah,
and,
exactly. I want my nails done by Big Poppy.
I would eat a souffle cooked by Big Poppy, Chef Poppy.
Chef Poppy. Yeah. The show was born out of the idea that someone was like, Big Poppy is very likable. I wonder what we could do to make a show out of that. Well, we could just have him do stuff.
It's just, literally the show is just him being likable. Like, that's the whole premise.
And let's be honest, it probably works.
Yeah.
What say you of the production value of this show versus Fielder's Choice?
This is so much better. I don't understand. This is produced with, it's like with Fusion and Yahoo Sports. So there's actually, he's got some real partnerships going on here. And clearly he's generating some buzz around it. Like Fielder's Choice, he teamed up with Amazon, but I don't even know who filmed that or like if there was a production company behind it or if it was just like Elvis Andrus with a camcorder. Like, I'm not really sure.
That's what our podcast is named now.
Elvis Andrus with a camcorder. Yeah, so
let's name a blog that.
I'm down. Yeah, that'd be a nice like niche baseball blog.
It's too long though.
Is it? I feel like we can make it work. EAWAC.
Oh yeah, that rolls right off the tongue.
Anyway, I'll probably watch this. It debuts in a few days actually, on January 31st. So maybe we'll watch the first episode and get back to you on what we think of it. But yeah, this is much more aesthetically pleasing to watch. But at the same time, the poor production value of Fielder's Choice kind of made it.
Yeah,
you know?
It made it way better.
It was nice. It didn't feel cosmetic or made up. It was
cosmetic,
just,
ha. Like Big Poppy. You're on a roll. Butter him up.
It's kind of nice. Like the other one is like, let's just put down a camera in front of Prince Fielder and Ken Griffey Jr. and just like let the cameras roll.
Is like, okay, Ken Griffey Jr. is like a huge get in the baseball world.
Yeah, absolutely.
I wonder, so like, is Big Poppy going to bring along, I think it would be so fun if he brought along like hated Red Sox teammates.
Yeah.
It's just like Dustin Pedroia shows up to like do someone's hair and they're like, get the fuck away from me.
They go to like some place in the Bronx. It's like,
someone just gives him a right cross.
I would watch that. That is some baseball. That is some TV.
They bartend in the Bronx.
See, there's an idea for you, right? Yeah.
Is this just like...
Like hated baseball players trolling their opposing fan bases?
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah.
What else could we do with that?
All right, yeah, let's come up with some reality TV shows right now for baseball players.
Specific to the hated fan base thing or just like in general?
I don't know, both. Do you have other hated fan base ones?
Chase Utley as a cab driver?
Yeah, Barry Bonds existing anywhere else besides San Francisco?
Yeah, fair. What could Pedro do in New York City? Marriage counseling. Pedro doing marriage counseling in New York City.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone has sort of flipped on hating Pedro, though.
Yeah. Although you could probably take him to an old folks' home and people would rip on him for, like, throwing Don Zimmer to the ground.
Yeah. That's fair. What about, you could put A-Rod almost anywhere. I guess he's had this rehab tour. But yeah, I feel like people would still hate him if they met him in person.
Maybe. But
A-Rod teaching business class in, like, Seattle.
See, and I would take that class and watch that show or do whatever.
Can you imagine the wait list for that class would be like 100 people long?
Oh, 100? I was going to go like 100,000. I think people would flock from across the country.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Okay, so not hated baseball player related. Do you have anything else on the top of your head? Off the top, okay, so off the top of my head, the very first thing that I thought of was like motocross with Mad Bum. We just have a show where, like, he's riding a dirt bike around his backyard. And it's, like, very funny because everyone hates him. And I suppose you could do it, like, in any other city because no city's like him except San Francisco. Motocross with Mad Bum in, like, St. Louis.
Yeah. That'd be interesting.
And, yeah, F him. He broke his ribs.
Yeah, it was just dumb.
Yeah, dumb.
Just go make a career out of it, bro. If you really want to do it.
Yeah.
Like, give up the baseball thing. You're not even that good.
All right, what's yours?
I think Daniel Murphy's got himself like an like an evangelical like TV thing where he's just like a TV pastor who talks to you about how to find the light, and it's like a half hour, like no commercial breaks whatsoever. Or he's just like an infomercial pastor,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
like,
but, okay,
he doesn't actually have his own show.
The thing about Daniel Murphy though is that like he's super zealous like religiously, but he's also like not. He's, like, not a pleasant guy, really. Like, he curses. Like, he yells at umpires. Like, he gets mad at himself. Like, I'm sure he's, like, a fine guy. Like, if you met him, I'm sure he would be very, very nice. But like,
unless you were gay, in which case.
Yes. But, like, he doesn't, like, refuse to, like, curse or anything like that.
Yeah.
So the evangelical TV show would be very, like, aggressive and, like, down to earth. Like, very, like... like, fuck this, fuck that.
But honestly, I feel like that's probably true about most of those guys you see on TV. Like, there is no way they're living, like, a chaste, like, very religious lifestyle. Like, you get off screen, and I don't even want to exist in that home with them.
I think it'd be fascinating. Daniel Murphy should have a podcast.
Yeah.
I would listen to that.
I would listen to an episode.
Like, I disagree with basically everything that he says. And, like, it hurts me every time I see him swing a bat. But, like... I think I would still listen to it just based off pure curiosity. Like, what is Daniel Murphy? What makes Daniel Murphy tick besides God?
I don't know.
What makes any of these guys tick besides God?
That's so true.
There's, like, such an overrepresentation of really zealous religious people in sports. Is that just, like, because... is that, like, a public, like, outlook thing? Like, are guys just, like... I love God because I think that will, like, poll well with baseball fans?
No, I don't know.
Like, most of these guys are from, like, the Bible Belt and, like, are, like, Brandon Nimmo, who is not from the Bible Belt, but, like, he tweets, like, a quote from the Bible every day.
Yeah, he's super religious. I don't know. I think that's, like...
you don't see that in basketball. You see people, like, in interviews be like, glory to God, but, like, they're not, like, tweeting Bible quotes every day.
I think it is a large part of it is, like, where these guys come from is, like, these small... town, like, mostly white Christian communities where, like, these people all went to church with each other on Sunday, you know?
And it was like, the local ball player really made it.
Yeah, exactly.
Praise be. Yeah. Okay, my next one, speaking of white Christian towns, I just think David Wright should have a show about lawn care. I don't know why. I feel like David Wright cares a lot about his lawn. And I love David Wright. He's, like, my favorite man. But I just feel like he's from Norfolk, Virginia. I feel like down, like, in Virginia, they care very much about, like, their estate and, like, the appearance of outwardly projecting to the world. And I just think David Wright definitely, like, as a young boy, was, like, trimming the shrubs and, like, edging the lawn and, like, doing a great job mowing it. So I feel like this is based on absolutely nothing. But lawn care with David Wright, I would watch that. Yeah. It could be, like House Hunters, but, like, he could be the guy that comes in and, like, cleans up the yard.
Yeah, like, or like,
and then once he's cleaned up the yard, he can, like, play baseball with his kids on it. It's like, I see it in my head, guys.
Yeah, it's like that show Extreme Home Makeover with, like, Ty Pennington.
Yo, that was, like, a big thing.
Huge.
Like, suburban America lost their shit for, like, a decade for that. And I remember there was one, like, a couple, like, neighborhoods away from me, like, growing up, and it was like, are we going to see Ty Pennington, like, walking around? Like, is everyone okay? Is everyone okay? Yeah. Are we all okay? Ty Pennington is in our zip code. Are we okay? I'm just checking. Is everyone good? Yes, but it could be like that with David Wright. I feel like, it doesn't even have to be lawn care. Let's just extend it to houses. Like, I feel like David Wright has good taste. David Wright had this, like, private jet called the Wright Flight, and you could, like, pay to take it. It's basically just, like, a jet, I think, like, with him. You just, like, fly, like, from city to city with him. That could be a good reality show. Yeah. Let's just give David Wright a series of reality shows. Netflix got money.
That'd
man.
Be fun. Let's pitch it to him. Be like, dude, you're not doing anything else right
oh,
now.
Oh, man. All right,
you
have any others?
I think, I mean, I have a couple guys. Tim Lincecum or Matt Harvey could have, like, their own Viceland show, you know?
Yeah. Tim Lincecum could just do that, what is the Viceland show about weed called? Bong Appetit, where they just get really high before it and then they go eat food.
Yeah.
Tim Lincecum could just host that show.
That's true. Or Matt Harvey's is just about, like, partying all the time and, like, going to clubs
Jersey
and, like,
Shore
checking out
Harvey.
All this.
Midtown Manhattan with Matt Harvey.
Yeah.
I would watch the hell out of that.
Oh, my God. I would try and, like, figure out where they're going and, like, try and get in the shot to party with him.
Do you think you can make a reality show with the three aces from the 2000s? Like, what do you think would make a good reality show for those? Like Hudson, Zito, and...
And Mulder?
Yeah. I don't know why I blanked on his name, but yeah.
I mean, that's kind of a tough one. Like, Zito's the most interesting guy out of the bunch, because, like, he's super musically inclined, you know? Like, he's just a musician now and released an album recently. You could do something...
Like jamming with him?
Yeah, like...
like, they're just, like, on tambourine? Zito's, like, doing it all, and, like, Mulder's just in the back, like, hitting the drum.
Yo, that'd be kind of fun if you got together, like, a band of baseball players.
That'd be really fun.
You got Barry Zito, get, like, Bernie Williams in there, Bronson Arroyo.
They have shows like that. On, like, I don't know, on, like, the Boonies channels, you know, like, the ones that you, like, never get to, like, the 700s and stuff. They have shows like that with, like, actual musicians. Like, I remember, like, scrolling through it, like, Jimmy Iovine was, like, in there with, like, five different, like, real musicians, like, let's jam. And I'm like, why isn't this on, like, a more prominent channel? And also, like, why can't we get weirder people in this? Like, why can't we, like, Snoop? Like, let's get, like, Snoop, like, Nelson Cruz, Barry Zito, and Tim Lincecum all in a room, and we just put, like, as many instruments as you can think of, and whatever they pick up just happens.
I would watch that.
I would watch that so hard.
You know what I think a fun one to watch would be?
What?
You get Marlins ownership, the three outfielders they just traded, and, like, a handful of fans, and it's just like a Real Housewives type thing where they just put them in a house and just watch them. Just watch the whole,
like,
thing
Big
implode.
They
would be at their throats every second.
Wow, we didn't even think of, like, psycho thriller reality show style, like Big Brother or, like, MTV's, like, The Challenge.
Yeah.
You know? Wow. That could be a whole different... Genre.
There's a rabbit. There's a whole episode.
We could make
this,
a whole
honestly.
Podcast about this.
Yeah. We should write some of these down.
Yeah.
We should make a blog post.
I mean,
about
we don't
this.
Need to write them down. We're recording this.
I know. We should just make a post. Just do like 10 reality show ideas.
All right. Yeah. You heard it here live first.
Yeah.
This will be a blog post. We will link to it in the description. Yeah, that's kind of fun. I like that. That just stick them in a house and see what happens.
Yeah. It'd be like. Jeffrey Loria is like, we don't need more soap. And the people are like,
he's not even the Marlins owner anymore, but
I know.
Former Marlins owner. All right.
Or Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter, you get in there. They're like, you guys, we're smelly. We need shampoo. And Jeter's like, no, I need this money.
What would Jeter's confessional look like? Like, you know how they always, like, cut away to, like, a creepy-ass room? It's, like, kind of dark in the background, and then it's just, like, rule of thirds. Like, the guy's just, like, off to the side with, like, his description underneath. And it's like, he would be so vanilla. He'd be like, I'm just in here to have a good time.
He would be, like, super oblivious and be like, no, I think we all get along really well. And you cut away to, like, a Marlins fan, and it's like, this is a freaking nightmare.
This is a nightmare. Because you, like, can't curse because, like, I'm going to be on MTV, like, VH1, or, like, whatever. Okay, so what about, you know, like, Wipeout? Like, ABC's Wipeout?
Yeah.
Who would be the player that you would want to see on that most? Because it's easily Yoenis Cespedes for me. Because he's, like, way too big for his own good. And, you know, he has, like, no coordination or, like, balance because his thighs are, like, tree trunks. And, like, that's fantastic for what he does as a baseball player because, like, he hits a ton of home runs and has, like, crazy power. I just, can you imagine him, like, trying to run around? Like, there's stuff, like, squirting him in the face, and he's just, like, rips it off of the thing. He's like, I'm done with this, guys. Or like American Ninja Warrior, who would be good on that?
Who would be good on that?
Yeah. I think Brandon Geyer would be really good on that. I don't have any reasoning for this. I feel like he has some American Ninja Warrior, like, training in his background.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think of, like, who's the toolsiest guy? Like, Byron Buxton would be good on that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Or, honestly, Jose Altuve would probably be pretty good. He would just, like, scurry up the wall.
I feel like Rosario would be not bad. Because he's, like, pretty shredded and he has like a good wingspan. You need to have like a decent wingspan. You can't be short for that game. Yeah. You have to like be able to reach for like the climbing tasks.
Yeah.
This is fun. Let's just start pitching these to execs. Let's just send emails.
Yeah.
If you're listening and you think these are good ideas, just start tweeting at like at ABC.
People would watch this. Like, not going to lie, no offense to Fusion and Yahoo Sports or Big Poppy, but like all of these ideas are better than just Big Poppy doing things. Sorry.
Yeah, but none of them are as pitchable as Big Poppy doing things.
I know.
Like, they walked into a room and they were like, so what do you got for me? And the other dude was like, Big Poppy doing stuff.
Doing stuff. It's like, I like it.
Not like where your head is at. Come back to me with 10 episode ideas. I got $10 million for you. Here you go.
You know what? That Prince Fielder one was pretty low budget. I'm sure we could get some place to pick up one of these ideas. This could be our big break, man. It's my big bronze boogie, got all them girls shook. My big fat ass got all them boys cooked. Went from dollar bills and I be popping rubber bands. Bruno sang to me while I do my money dance. Like, hey. Flexing on the gram like, hey. Hit the Lil Jon, okay. Okay. Oh yeah, we dripping the finesse and getting paid. Ooh, don't we look good together? So that's it, man. We found our big break. We're jumping from podcasting to reality shows.
Honestly, sure.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I'm down.
I don't think I'm built. I'm not cut out for the TV world.
Nah,
for being
neither.
Honest.
No. This is like, so much easier. We're like in a basement. No one's watching us.
Like, ideas don't just get like killed overnight, like without telling you.
Yeah.
Like, imagine if we did like this whole thing. We found 10 angry Marlins fans. We stuck them in a house. We recorded the whole season. And then they were just like, listen, we're only going to play 3 episodes. And then we're just going to cut the show off the air.
Yeah.
I would be furious.
Yeah, I'd be livid.
It's like, this is just when it was getting good. We just got Jeter to say 10 words in a row.
I would just steal it and like put it on YouTube. That's like fair. The easiest thing to do. That's what, like, most of these are like YouTube shows.
Yeah, let's just start pitching it to people. Let's start with Fernando.
All right.
Fernando would do it like any of these shows.
That's actually true.
All right, yeah, well, that was fun. That was a fun idea. If you have better ideas for reality TV shows,
yeah,
feel free to send them our way, and we'll put like a listener section at the bottom of the article, just like best listener ideas.
Yeah, boom, we'll shout it out. We broke double digit ratings on iTunes right now. We're up to 10. So if you want to keep bumping that number up, if that feels like something you want to do,
triple digits can only be the next goal.
That
so
is true. The next goal.
Far off. Please,
it's taken us like 6 months to get to 10.
If you're listening, it's exponential, Alex. That's been, don't you understand
true.
Math?
Yeah, true.
Science.
I don't.
Statistics.
I understand podcasts.
Do you?
Nope.
Do either of us? Anyway, if you're listening to this outro, I implore you to just share this with a friend. Or if you're like hanging out with friends, just like take their phones and subscribe them to us on iTunes. It's very easy. I did it this weekend when we were out bowling with our friends. So like, just do it. It's very easy. Nike, just do it.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening. It's like what's it called? What's the show called? The fucking with Ty something.
Extreme Home Makeover.
Extreme Home Makeover, yeah.
Do you want to say that again? Because we were like talking to each other away from the microphones.
Wait, is that?
Whoa!
Oh, careful. Yeah. Is that what's called? Extreme Home Makeover?
Extreme Home Makeover with Ty Pennington?
Yeah, that's his name. I almost said Ty Kelly.